morning, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
All right, great start. Hey, if you are still eating, don't worry about it. Continue eating. If you want to get seconds, go ahead and do that. But we're going to get started with our Easter service this morning. So glad that you could be here with us. And here we go.
Thank you. 3 o'clock Friday afternoon. Merchants hawk their wares. Children play in dirty streets. Neighbors gossip over stone walls. At 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, while the world was doing something else, the son felt so very far away from the father. My God, why have you forsaken me? And at 3 o'clock on this Friday afternoon, the ones who noticed and the ones who cared were there, watching it all unfold. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last, and the ones who noticed stood at a distance and clucked their tongues. He saved others, but he can't even save himself. And the ones who cared stood near, inconsolable. We had hoped, but they could not even finish the sentence. So they set their faces and planned a funeral before the sun went down.
Gray, after the funeral, before our lives go on, before the awful realization settles like dust on our shoulders, we will forget his face, his smile, the way he made us laugh, his puzzling words, this king disguised. Gray, all cried out, no energy left, even to mourn, but none either for moving on with life, now however small. So the women decide to do something, anything, from sitting in that dark house. Early in the space between darkness and day, they bring spices, the women, to the graveyard. Spices, tokens of devotion, some small gauntlet thrown down towards the stench of death. But there, by the grave, lit by morning's first rays, or by what? Some great thought of God? There, either lit or themselves in light, stand two messengers out of the gray. Their message? Graveyards are for dead men, and he is not dead. You will find him elsewhere, very much alive, and all turn to them then. His face, his laugh, his voice, he himself, alive, this king, disguised no more, Jesus.
Lord Jesus, we have not let the women in the graveyard see you with our own eyes.
But with eyes of faith, we believe that you have risen from the dead.
And Lord Jesus, a heart that has truly seen you cannot refrain from praise.
Receive now the words of our confidence in you, our words of praise.
We believe that you are the Son of the living God.
We believe that you are the Lamb who was slain for our sin.
We believe that all blessing and glory and honor and power belong to you.
We believe, Lord Jesus, that you have overcome death itself and that you reign in glory at the right hand of the Father.
Your kingdom is within us and among us, and it will have no end.
Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Thank you. dead, trembling over death by death. Come away, come away, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come away, come away, come and rise up from the grave. Amen.
get off. You could see the guy lining up that putt like his life depends on it.
It does.
I'm going to hit into him.
No, hey, 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 hey. No, no, come on, just a second. Hey, we're here to have fun. We're here to play golf. Just relax a little. Relax.
Relax? These guys are driving me crazy. I say we skip these last three holes and head to the clubhouse.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
No, hey, guys, wait. Hold on a second. We're here to play golf. It's a beautiful day. Things could be a lot worse.
Oh, yeah? How?
Well, it could be raining. Or we could be sitting in church right now.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? We got a 10:30 tee time. It's the best tee time of the whole year. And Frank, he goes on and misses it because he's got to go and do the Easter thing. I mean, what a waste.
No kidding. Last time I was in church, I was 12. Had to go because my grandparents made me.
Let me think here. The last time I was in church was 8 years ago. My wife says we're doing the whole church thing.
All right.
I look through the yellow pages, find this church. We make it there. We go in, sit down. Some guy stands up and starts to preach. And all I'm thinking is, hey buddy, tell me how to stay out of trouble and lower my handicap.
No kidding. Give me a sure thing. Give me a guarantee.
Yeah. This preacher's up front droning on and on. Jesus this, Jesus that. Faith this, faith that. The whole ball and chain. And I'm missing golf for this. I haven't darkened the doors of the church since. And today, I'm a free man. Yeah!
Woo!
No kidding. And besides, if all this Jesus stuff were true, he could show up anywhere. Like, out here on the golf course.
Yeah, no kidding.
Whenever my wife starts bugging me about going to church,
I
tell her the next time you see me in church, be at my funeral.
There you go. Hey, Tom, how about you? When was the last time you were in church?
Boy, actually, the last time I was in church was at a funeral. It was my dad 4 years ago. I hadn't seen him very much. It's been a couple years, but anyway, he's old, so he dies. And so I go out to Iowa for the funeral. And turns out he'd got religion in his old age or something. He joined this little church out there.
Yeah?
Yeah, so the funeral, there's all these people packed in this tiny little building. It's stifling hot in there. And the preacher's talking about, you know, heaven and Jesus and stuff. And talking about how my dad is, he's safely home now. That I think he said he's safely home with God. Yeah, that's how he put it. You know, just pie in the sky stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So then what happened?
Well, funeral was over. I jumped the first plane home and I haven't darkened the doors of a church since. Huh, look. Looks like the dinosaurs finally decided to migrate off the putting surface.
Hallelujah. All right, who's up?
That would be me.
Hey, guys. Mind if I play through?
Well,
go ahead.
You can go ahead, but you're just going to get stuck behind the old geezers in front. Why don't you play with us? Our fourth had a prior commitment today.
Right, Frank. Yeah, he's in church. Fourth row. Sixth seat in.
How'd you know that?
I sort of know some things about Frank. Well, man, I guess you're up.
Do I know you?
Sort of. You were introduced to my boss when you were with your grandparents. I think you were 12.
Trouble there. All right, Tom, show us the way to the green.
Do I know you?
Yeah, I know you. And I know your dad.
Oh, you know my dad. You knew him.
I know him.
But he's... Oh. All right. Here we go. Don't slice it. Up the middle. Oh, come on, giddy up! Oh, that's gonna be like 40 yards short of the green. Oh, goodness.
All right, pal, you're up. Show us the way home. Let's hopefully somebody gets on in regulation.
Excuse me. You can use a one iron on this pole?
Yeah, it's all I play with, really. I don't know why. I guess it's that old joke, even God can't hit a one iron. Just kidding. Okay, let's see. 147 yards. I need to avoid that lake, eh, Matt? I mean, there's no guarantee a guy can get out of there. And I'm all for guarantees. I say, give me the sure thing, something I can count on. I mean, a guy goes around putting his faith in the wrong things, like his 8-iron, no trouble, no telling what trouble he'll get into. I mean, a guy can wind up in serious trouble. Deep woods, even death. Nope, don't stick me with that ball and chain. I want to be safely home. That's the place to be. Hey, Tom? Safely home?
Yeah. Safely home.
All right, safely home. I'll lead the way.
That's looking good. That's
good. Oh, incredible! Whoa. Incredible! That's within 2 feet of the hole! With a one iron!
Thanks, guys.
Who'd you say you were?
I'm a messenger for a delivery service.
No kidding, I work for FedEx. Who do you work for?
Let's just say someone that you could meet on a golf course.
Oh, do we know him?
Not yet.
It's moving. It's moving.
Did you see that? Did you see that? The wind blew it right in the hole.
Whoa.
Yeah, hole one.
Sure thing.
Hey, pal, how about you and me team up the last few holes?
Love is here.
of that song Love Is Here. And I know our drama was kind of an interesting concept. You know, God on a golf course or one of his messengers. And traditionally, we don't really like to see God out in everyday life. Traditionally, we want to kind of keep God in a box. And we call that box church. And, you know, it's kind of like if I want to go to be with God, I'll go visit God in a church, like going to visit an inmate in a prison. And this is hard for me to say, because I believe the Bible tells us that we need to together as believers. But God isn't just in church. The earliest Jewish people also had a box for God. It was called the temple, almost literally a box. This is a picture here of part of it, the holy place. And in fact, the Holy of Holies, that back part of it, was literally a box, a 15-foot by 15-foot by 15-foot square box. And inside that room, there was another box. And this is the Ark of the Covenant. His presence on earth, what is called his Shekinah glory, rested on top of the Ark, what's called the mercy seat, between two golden cherubim. So it was a really nice box. I mean, I'm not saying anything bad about the box. It was a nice box they built for God, but it was still a box. And of course, that box had a door. It was actually a curtain, actually. It was 3 inches thick curtain or veil that went across the whole front of the opening of the box. And you could come in and visit God in this box. Actually, only the high priest could come in and visit, and he could only come in once a year. But there was a reason for that. There's a reason that there was this separation. Because of sinful humanity, starting with Adam and Eve's sin, right on down through every human who ever lived, including you and me, our sin caused a separation from God. And because of that, God had to be separate from man. But when Jesus died on the cross, and we celebrate Easter, as Jesus died on the cross, something very interesting happened. In Mark 15, verse 37 says, "With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last." Jesus dies on the cross. He's dying for our sins. He's breathed his last. And then the very next verse that we read is, "The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. So now we've got the veil is torn, meaning what? Well, God is out of the box now. He's not going to be contained as if he ever was. But the box is open. There's no more separation between God and man. Why? Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and the cost of our sin has been paid for by Jesus' death on the cross. Because he was a sinless sacrifice for us on the cross, the cost of our sin has been paid for. So now, there's no more separation, and God's popping up everywhere. We see Jesus everywhere. God appears to his followers in the upper room. John 20, verse 19 says, "On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, and the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" So the doors are locked. You've got these stone walls, and here's Jesus just appearing among them. Again, he appeared to Thomas. John 20, 26. "A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked," again, and you've got the walls, "Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" We see him showing up at a fishing trip where the disciples are. We see him showing to a big multitude. We see him showing up with two people walking on the road to Emmaus. We have all these visitations, these appearances of Jesus, and in fact, more that can even be listed in the Bible. In fact, John 20, verse 30 says, "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book." So it's listing all these appearances. And John, the disciple who wrote the book of John, is listing all of his appearances and says, you know, he made many other signs when he was with his disciples that aren't recorded. So he's showing up everywhere to his followers. There's too many to be recorded. Now, Jesus may have not been on a golf course because there wasn't golf invented back then, but on fishing trips and wedding feasts and birthday parties and walks down a dusty road, he's appearing to his followers in times of tribulation and times of despair. And John, the writer of the gospel, couldn't have written them down. There's so many sightings. But he says this. "So Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book." The next verse is, "But these," right, the appearances that he did write down, are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now there's going to be no more separation between man and God. And we can have eternal life, eternal fellowship with him that he planned in the beginning to have with Adam and Eve before the first sin. And that reunion takes place by what we've just said. By believing in Jesus. That by believing that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, believing you may have life in his name. What is his name? Jesus. It's the Yeshua, the Hebrew word, that means the Lord saves. That we believe that he can and will save us from our sins. And of course now, when the separation is gone and the box is open, the box doesn't get opened so that God can get out. Right? Think about this. The symbol we have a lot of times of Easter is the empty tomb, right? The stone rolled away. The stone wasn't rolled away so Jesus could escape. Right? We just talked about that. Resurrected bodies, they show up all over. They go through locked doors. They go through stone walls. Jesus didn't need the stone to be rolled away. It was rolled away so we could enter in and see. The veil wasn't torn so God's Shekinah glory could leave. It's so that we could enter in and behold him. You know, when the high priest would go in once a year, if he didn't behold the Shekinah glory of God on the mercy seat above the ark, the priest would at times drop dead. In fact, they would tie a cord onto his leg, a rope onto his leg, because if that did happen, they wanted to be able to pull him out, because nobody else was going to want to go in there after him and have to suffer the same fate. Jesus was born so he could enter our world, but he died so we can enter his. So there we have it. God appeared to his people. John wrote it down about the appearances that we are to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, who is able to save us from our sins. And we just have to place our trust in him for that salvation. And not just, though, that he would be a part of our world, but so that we would enter into his kingdom. And who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want that? But wait, don't answer, because there's more. There's more. There's more than just eternal salvation. Yes, there is the removal of sin so we can enter God's presence both now and then when we die. But there's more. And it's the reason I kept my little golf glove on. I picked up these for $10 at Meijer. And you might think, well, that's a cheap little golf glove. But it's not. These gloves are amazing. I want to show you some things these gloves can do. Illinois. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this glove can do. Look at that. Alright? Ready for this? No! Right? Ready? Mind blown? Mind blown, right? Yeah. I know. You're wondering, where can I get a pair of these gloves? These things are amazing. Check this out. Watch this. Look at this. Yeah, I want to get you a pair of these gloves. These things are sweet. What else can these gloves do? This glove, watch this one. Oh man, these things are cool. What else did they do? Oh! Hang on. I think this glove's going to be. Oh man, these things are so cool. These gloves are incredible. You can give a hand with the gloves? That's all right. These gloves! Hey, you want a hand here? I'll give you a hand. Alright, his gloves are great, right? I mean, these are fabulous creations. These are wonderful creations. Alright? You think, where can I get some of these? I'm going to lay it right here, and you're thinking, I hope these are there, because I want to grab it before we're done. Now, of course, we all know that's silly, right? We all know that the glove doesn't really do much. You know, you take your hand out of the glove and ask it to do the same things, and the reality is, the gloves are lifeless, pretty much. The hand inside, working in and through the gloves, is what enables them to do different things. The gloves are just a container for the hand. See, not only do we have eternal life if we trust Jesus to save us, but he also promises us his Holy Spirit, which works in and through us to do the works that he has created and prepared us to do. Amazing things that we could never do on our own. But without the hand, the glove is lifeless. You know, there's nothing to the glove. God created us with two parts. There's a body and a spirit. And the body, you know, is a wonderful creation. but it's just a container. But Acts 1:8 says, and this is after his resurrection, Jesus tells them, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we are filled with God's Spirit. And he enables us not only to do, but to know, to understand. John 14:26 says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So we have God's Spirit, and there are times when you read his word and it comes alive because of his Holy Spirit, because his Spirit gives it the power to understand. Yes, I can read this book, but with God's Spirit, this book reads me. Yeah, I can just read through and get all the way through this book, but when I have his Holy Spirit, this book gets all the way through me. I can be informed by that book, but when I have his Holy Spirit, I can be transformed. Now, we have this shell, this body. What happens with a, this is my actual golf club I haven't used for years, but what happens to a golf club over the years when it gets kind of worn out? Right? Kind of like our bodies, it gets a hole in it. It's discolored, it's wrinkled, it shrinks a little bit. Back hurts in the morning, hair falls out. Oh, wait, I'm back to the glove. Yeah, the glove. I mean, but what do you do? When you have a glove like this at the end, if you're not cheapskate like me, what do? You go get a new glove, right? You go get a new glove. You know, in the same way, when we die, our spirit leaves the body, you know, but our soul, who we are, doesn't go away. It's still there. The person inside the body still exists, but now there's someplace else. And God puts it together with a new body. And actually, the same body, but even better. In fact, that's what we celebrate on Easter. We celebrate on Easter that Jesus' body and spirit have come back together, his resurrected body, on Easter morning. Christ was back in his body again. And the most exciting thing is that God wants to do the exact same thing for us. God wants to do the exact same thing for us. When someone dies, their body and their spirit are separated, but God will raise us back up in a new body, in a resurrected body, to be with him forever. And God came into our world as a baby. He grew, became a man, taught about himself, and then he died, defeating sin on the cross. But he doesn't stay there. He doesn't stay there. He rises on Easter and he defeats death as well. And then we have the same offer to do the same thing. To defeat death as well. To place our trust in him by acknowledging that he is the Son of God, and then his forgiveness of the whole world can be applied to us. That we have new life. We have eternal life. And we have his Holy Spirit working in and through us. And we have encounters with a risen Savior. You know, whether it's on a golf course, on a church service, or while in his word, or walking down a dusty road, in times when we feel defeated, in times when we feel depressed, in times when we feel victorious, and everything in between. Because his love is here. Because Christ is risen. Because he's not in a box. And we have the promise of a resurrected body where we'll live in God's presence forever. And it's the reason that we're here this morning, to proclaim the gospel, to tell people about the good news. And it's true. And it's true. And it's true for you. It's true for you. Yes. If you choose. God loves so much that he doesn't force himself on anyone. So one by one, individual by individual, life by life, we come to the cross. We come to the cross and ask for forgiveness. We come to the cross and acknowledge his forgiveness. We come to the cross to say thank you. You know, and if you would like to do one of those things this morning, I'm going to invite you to come forward in just a moment and spend a moment at the cross saying thank you. You're a Lord. Forgive me. I'm sorry. Work in and through me. Have that personal moment this morning with the Lord. And in fact, I invite you to come to the next song and do that and
The worship team will kind of play it instrumentally while people come up. And if you choose to do that, and I hope you do, when you come up, also take one of these teas with you. And a reminder not only of the nails that Jesus took in his hands and his feet when he was dying for our sins on the cross, but also a reminder of our little drama of how God wants to be with us in all parts of our life. That God is present in any moment of your life. His love is here. That at any time, he wants to be a part of each part of your life. If you have an offering this morning, you can place that in the plates when you come up as well. If you don't have an offering this morning, don't even worry about that. That's the most important part of coming up and spending time with Christ. But this is your moment to do business with God this morning. And as the worship team plays in Christ alone, I invite you to come and spend a moment with Christ, the one who makes life worth living.
Thank you. still holding that tea, if you pick one up, squeeze it gently in your hand to the point of letting the point be in your palm. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for dying on the cross for us, that something we'll never truly be able to appreciate, the nails through your hands and through your feet. But thank you so much that you didn't stay there, that you defeated death and you invite us into the same as we proclaim you as the Son of God, as the Messiah, believing in your name as the one who saves, that we too can have everlasting life. God, thank you that like this tea, your Holy Spirit, sets us in circumstances in ways that we can never do on our own. Just pray for each person here as we leave. Let the truth of this day, this moment, infiltrate every part of our life to make a difference in each area that you choose to put us. Pray all this in your name, Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Have a wonderful Easter, and we'll see you guys next week.
Did you want?